This is the Crossroads Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Odd Mission Podcast, everybody. Here with some of my favorite people. Matt Stoll, of course.
Yes.
Woo!
Hello, everybody.
And Joel Jacobson.
Hey.
And special guest.
Special
guest. Guest host here, Brandon Whitstone.
Hi. How's it going?
Hi, Brandon.
Oh, gosh.
Hi.
I might have to turn this one up, Brandon.
Sorry. I'll get closer.
There you go.
There. Don't talk too loud.
And,
is that better?
The occasion is, got three people in here who have been heavily involved in music contributions at church services for many years. I don't need to even go around, but if you could just off the top of your head say, how many years have you been doing music stuff in churches, Matt?
Probably 25 years.
Okay, exactly. So if we were to collect it all together, there'd be a lot of years spent in this discussion and in this contribution.
How come I had to, that
okay,
makes, yeah, yeah. That's made me feel old.
Anybody can top it. I mean,
I'm at 14, Dan.
There you go. Wonderful.
So,
great. I don't know how to do math that well.
Brennan, what do you got? Like
a decade?
Three?
How old is a third grader?
Nine.
All right, so I'd be pretty close to the 21 years or something.
Yeah.
Anyways, it can be a very dysfunctional place. And the other day when we were talking to Joel on one of the previous episodes, we referenced this conundrum that worship leaders often find themselves in, where we're in a faith that's based on the virtue of humility and sacrifice and self-forgetfulness in a lot of ways. Yet the nature of some of the stuff that we do when we contribute at our gatherings, it feels a little bit more like performance-y at times, or like self, you know, not exalting.
Grandizing.
It's
yeah.
It's like, and especially in the band, as a musician, I was in a band all through high school. And the like biggest validating moment would be, we wrote this one song called Let's Just Say That It's Over. And is a breakup song, of course. We're kind of punk pop, you know. And
can you sing it for us, Dan?
It's like the chorus was like, why can't we just say that it's over? Yeah. And I remember looking out at one point and seeing people singing it. And that's like the biggest validation, you know, as an artist, singer, songwriter, you know. And in church, think about it. Any musician that's in the band, like, can just look out and all of a sudden get that exact same feeling. And so you can see how quickly this could become such an attractive place, but also a place where you can get kind of weird really quick, and things do get weird. And so I don't know if you guys have any examples of that, of different things that happen in the bands or in your, some of the pressures that are there, or some of the things that you think about, just so that we can all get kind of,
I think why we wanted to talk about this, 'cause Brennan had some interesting thoughts the other day when we were hanging out and wanting to get Joel's example. It's just too, I mean, like, I think it's good. I want people to know that we like really wrestle with this sort of thing. Like, you always wonder what your pastors are doing. Well, we're sitting in our offices talking about this kind of stuff. Not every day, all the time.
Yeah.
But we are super concerned with, is what we're doing, is just for us? Is it like just to make us feel good about, like, wow, people are singing. Look at all the people that raised their hands. That's a great song. Let's do that. Like, what's really behind what we're trying to do is a really good question, I think, that we should be asking as we're planning services and who we let on stage. What is the stage? All these things, not to make it too philosophical, but like, I think they're really important questions.
Yeah, and we definitely like feel that tension each week. I think that's something we always wrestle with, you know.
Yeah, because on one level, you know, you have a contribution and a gift to give, but there's a critique that I've often heard that if you try too hard, you can become just too self-involved in it. But then there's also a flip side of that same coin, which is sometimes people are tempted to just be like, well, I'm not going to practice or try at all. I'm just going to be kind of spirit-led or whatever,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But then that can sometimes be tragic instead of magic, you know? And so where's the balance between like holding things out in your hand, but also like actually put some effort into it?
If I can set the stage a little more, going way back 25 years at least. You know, I mean, the church I grew up in, like, literally we had the hymnal and an organ and a piano. And yeah. One dude behind the podium that would kind of like give us the one, two, three.
I always thought that guy was doing magic when I was a kid.
But you'd walk in, yeah. Maybe you'd walk in, and yeah. like on the board motions. Is the hymns for the day. Hymn 529, yeah. hymn 242, and hymn 392. Yeah. And you're like, hopefully not all four verses of each one. One, three, and
some
four.
Some hymns are like 15 or one, two, verses. Four. So you gotta watch three. Out, man.
But
a lot of German ones, too. Did you ever do the German ones?
Oh, the well, yeah, they're nicely syncopated, oh, yeah. but... I think that, and now we have, like, you know, and I'm old enough to remember that, but I'm old enough, too, to remember this like, a new wave of worship leaders and songs that was, like, I'm singing prayers to God that, like, are more personal, like, and then that became, and then all of a sudden you had bands on stage, and then out of nowhere you had frustrated musicians, composers, songwriters that couldn't make it in the big world. And then they found themselves in church world to bide the time a little bit as they kind of built their rock career.
Oh,
just
yeah.
you know, just waiting well, to get on
the
stage.
Whole development.
Yeah. Oh, for real? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Into, yeah, rock and roll, and, or like the jam band or whatever.
Well, and I was gonna say, Matt, do you feel like with like you have these big evangelical movements of these big conferences and stuff?
Yeah.
Do you feel like that kind of like trickled down into the church world? You know, because before what I'm hearing is that like. It was really low key. You knew all the songs you were going to sing, even probably like in the, you know, like the bulletin,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And like, and then all of a sudden now we have like churches that look like their conference every Sunday.
Yeah. And I think a big part of it too also came from the seeker movement back that Willow Creek kind of coined and Calvary yeah. churches out west. And it's like, what's going to draw people in the door? Well, what's going to draw them in the door? We got a rock concert. Every weekend. I mean, who wouldn't want to come see some talented people on stage and, hey, to come to my church, it's just like going to see Boston, you know?
Yeah. There's like this level of professionalism that's happened within the church.
Man. Look no further than Passion, like down in Georgia. How many people show up to that kind of thing?
Yeah, big old arena.
Right.
I think that the reason why people go to concerts and stuff is it is helpful for their brain, for their heart, for their soul, and all that. But... at what point on the other side of that is does things get really existentially tricky? You know, I mean, what is the place of excellence in all this?
Yeah.
You know? I mean,
well, and I think it's what's your purpose. So like maybe for the seeker church or a church that gravitates towards a larger body, maybe they're just trying to bring people in to provide some kind of message.
Touch point.
Yeah. So they can experience God in some kind of way. And I think, you know, if your purpose is that and to be excellent music, that can be a good purpose. I think as humans, we're broken and we can like definitely mess things up. But I also think, you know, what we can do here at our church is like the purpose is just to worship God. And so we, you know, to kind of, I think you have to just like know what your focus is, what you want to do. And why you want to do it. Because I think without those, then you just start striving for something that's not realistic.
What does it mean to worship God?
Man, Brennan.
Brennan.
That's a
deep.
Is that
question.
Too big?
Yeah, come on.
Well, isn't that not at the root?
It is.
Yeah, it really
actually,
is.
Actually, great question.
I think worship is an outpouring of, like, who you are and whatever you're, like, whatever that continual outpouring is. Or whatever the object of that is an object of worship. And so when people have a gift of music and they're able to pour that out and direct it towards something or whatever, in a lot of ways that is a sacrifice. It is a moment where they're, I think in a very general sense, and that I don't love to reduce it to just music, but we do have kind of a way of speaking in the West where we say worship. And we mean music, and so let's just get that out of the way right now. That's kind
of... It's part of it. It's not all of it.
Yeah.
But I do think it's a good way of expressing, like how God's been good to us. Or just, like, our thoughts. Maybe it's... We can express lament through the songs we sing. Maybe it's, you know, our gratitude we ascribe to who God is through that. On the flip side, it's not just the only way. It's, like, when you... take care of your neighbor that lives next to you that's struggling with, say, cancer. Like, that is a form of living out our faith or worshiping God.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, biblically speaking, this is such a reason why, you know, you can go round and round about this, because, you know, the Bible doesn't strictly lay out exactly what we're supposed to do in our services each right. time. It doesn't condemn singing. It doesn't say you have to have all bad singers or all pro singers. Like,
yeah.
So we're kind of left in this quagmire of trying to figure out, okay, well, what is it? And I like what you said about, like, Joel, like, well, what is it for us? What are we trying to accomplish? We should stick true to what we feel called God wants us to do in our context, while not throwing stones at someone else's calling, what they're trying to do. Hmm. But I think that, you know, biblically speaking, I think you could make a strong argument that your spiritual act of worship has to start with some sense of giving of yourself, right?
Yeah.
That to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, this is your spiritual act of worship. Mm-hmm. Not that singing can't be part of that or a response mm-hmm. to what's happening. Mm-hmm. But I think, and I'll just jump to the point with a thought there quickly, is like, I've always felt like the best singing, the best performance, comes from a place of truth and sincerity of someone that's actually living it out or has experienced what they're singing about or telling someone else what they're singing about. So I think when someone's living their life like Christ, they're pouring out their body as a human sacrifice to help their friend down the street, whatever, and whatever yeah. that would look like, what flows out of that is worship. Hmm. What flows into the truthfulness of a song they might sing about God being near them in their brokenness and praising him for that. Like, if they've experienced God being near to them in the brokenness, mm-hmm. that comes from a place of truth.
Yeah.
That I think is really valuable.
Yeah. It coming to mind is like the Mark 12, the widow's offering, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. where she gave everything she had, not out of her surplus, but out of her poverty.
Right,
and
right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Something about that. And I think there's something about music too, or like why we, I don't know why we've elevated music as our primary yeah. form of worship in Sunday. I wonder if it has much to do with just music in general. You don't really have to be a religious person to feel deeply connected to music. Yeah. And there's like something about music in general, like it's all these patterns that come together and it unfolds. It's almost ex nihilo. It comes out of nothing, you know, and, mm-hmm. and there's something like deeply connected.
Yeah,
there's some connectiveness.
Definitely mysterious there, and it does create connection when mm-hmm. you can say the same things together and then add that melody to it, and we're all saying it yeah. in agreement. Mm-hmm. It's a very encouraging moment and efficient, mm-hmm. if you will, because yeah. yeah. it's all kind of,
yeah.
we're all praying out the same thing.
And a song unfolds, too, yeah. like a yeah. kind of like life, and mm-hmm. just like something that's deep below the surface of things.
Definitely.
The vibe.
Yeah.
That
definitely has a place mm-hmm. here. It's not like I don't think we're the first culture to use it, you know, in this sure. context. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But how do you protect somebody from going, you know, I always had this fear of one, just creative people getting ground up because of this weekly thing that we have to do. And two, if they were able to express, you know, just need to like just breathe. There seems to be often like a competitive field there in a lot of ways, to where I'd hate to see it, but if somebody did take a break, somebody young and like maybe even better or has a different angle can like take over. And how do you protect somebody who wants to be there, but you don't want them to get into the idolatry of like making their identity like a part of this sacrifice?
Well, both of you, I think on the last podcast when you had Joel on, he gave a little bit about your background, and I think you're built for this question, because you've dealt directly with, like, maybe it isn't the right word, but judging whether or not like musicians can be a part of the team or can lead.
Yeah.
So what goes into that? It seems like a bit of a good precursor.
Yeah. A little side comment to it. I think for me, it's all about someone's heart behind it. So, like earlier I was saying, like, what's the purpose of you doing this? And I think that's the same as like someone that wants to be a part of like a worship team or part of a church service or really anything mm-hmm. that's a part of like a ministry. Like, are you doing this because you want to make yourself look cool? Or are you doing this because you want to serve your church and you want to worship God? And I think for me, it's like, if someone's heart is in the right place, that's where I think they're more connected and more effective in ministry than if they're just trying to be cool to play church music. Because at the end of the day, let's be real, church bands are just cover bands. We really are. Like, there are not that many churches that...
Unless we're writing our own music.
Unless if, and I was just going to say, not many churches are writing their own music, and maybe we'll get to that point, and I would love for us, if that rises out of our church, because I know that's been a history here that I'm learning, and I think that would be amazing if we keep doing it, but at the end of the day, we're just writing... We're playing someone else's songs. And I think if we... Like, if we don't step into that humility and go, you know what, this is for God, then that to me, I feel like we're just doing it for the wrong reasons.
I think to add to that, because I think that's all really good. I think too, just one of the things we try really hard to do here weekly is break down the walls between the stage and the participants. And I think the more we continue, maybe people hopefully have even noticed a trend last years that, you know, who wants to pray? Who wants to pray for the prayer pit? Anyone to come up? Anyone else want to come up here and share? You know, like that. This is—it's not about us being on stage performing. I hope, God forbid. I hope it's that we're at least offering voice to people, giving them words that they've wanting to pray. They've been wanting to pray, and then allowing them to also enter in, be active participants in the service, and hopefully the band gets caught up in that too. I'm just one other person in the room here trying to encounter God in some way together.
What I like about that is that ensures almost that it's not going to be a curated production that can be controlled, because you're actively placing yourself in a moment you're putting the control in the group and just saying, you know, here, we're all here together, and I'm not going to just have this cover. Like you're saying, a cover song you can control. You can get people to just do exactly what they're supposed to do. But you can't do that when you open it up to the crowd to say, come on, help us, remind us that we're all in here together. And that's a good point, Matt.
It's the authenticity of the community. I think that's what shows, like we're all, like what you're saying, Matt, like just because you have the mic doesn't make you like the leader or like more powerful or more important. You're just trying to encounter God as much as the people that are like coming to our services.
I'm feeling like two themes that you both are talking about. It seems there's an aspect of communal and an aspect of personal that goes in to worship. And does humility play a role in both? What does it look like in a communal context versus a personal context? And same with excellence. I mean, musicianship, is there a communal aspect to that?
Well, I think like when you're playing in a band, like that's super communal. So like Brennan, you're a drummer, and say I'm playing bass one weekend, right? And like bass and drums, for those who, you know, are listening that don't know music or aren't experienced. Nerd, I'm a nerd. Thanks, Dan. But bass and drums are like the two instruments that like are the
God likes best
that work together all the time. And, but like, I'm thinking of like, as a bass player, I'm watching your foot playing the kick drum because I'm matching that. And like, to me, that makes it communal.
Yeah.
Like if I start doing my own thing, all of a sudden we're not making music. We're just on our own program. And so I think that's where like, you know, as a band, we're very communal, but in the space of the gathering, like I look at the band as the accompaniment to the congregation. Like, we're here all in this together. If we were 50 years ago, we would have been one organ, you know, probably Grandma Sue.
Hey, 20.
Who made
said 20.
25.
25 yeah, years 24. Ago.
Yeah. But even then, it was communal.
It was
the Sacred Harp would sing together, you know.
Exactly. Like, we're one big choir all in this to sing to our God. And I think that's where, like, that's what makes it communal. And I think to go into the humility of that, of just like becoming a servant to our congregation, rather than trying to make elevate ourselves. We're just in it as much as the people that attend.
True.
Just practiced.
I think that, you know, that,
Yeah, we just know the songs more.
Out the song.
Yeah.
There is a sense, like, okay, I don't, not to muddy the waters, but I do think that there is a sense of somebody that's really good can actually be less distracting for other people in the room. You know, like, there's that fine balance of, like, hey, I actually worked hard at my craft to the point where hopefully I'm not noticed. Yeah. You know, like, I'm a good enough drummer. I worked on, I practiced all these songs. There's actually humility in being good at what you do, I think, in that kind of roundabout way. Like,
yes,
I don't want to draw attention to myself, so I'm going to practice and work hard at playing the right drum beat at the right time. So no one's, like,
for sure,
jarred out and, of.
And that's how you can serve the band. That's how you can serve the congregation. Yeah. It's like, literally, I try my best because, like, I want to serve Brennan, or I want to serve, you know, like, Dan, if he's playing in the band, or, you know, because I think we shouldn't look down on people that are good. We should, like, celebrate that.
And I think, too, like, so on that point, I think it's interesting to think about in the past. My mom and dad, their generation had the ability to worship through someone else's excellence. They would, you know, you'd have a soloist on stage, and they would sing a song for everybody to the Lord, you know, or they would play their flute or what.
Yeah.
And, like, they would sit there, and I don't think they were, right? I mean, they weren't there going, oh man, she's the best piano player in the world. And she's just, they were like, this is so worshipful. Mm-hmm. I'm so
drawing you into the mystery.
Yeah. Side. Like, and I feel like we've lost, like, again, I'm not saying next week we should have someone stage ripping a solo or they're like, but, like, I do think it's interesting.
You ready?
Will things come back to a little, like, can we have space for someone who's an artist and is gifted by God to, can we worship through that? Like, you know, can we be just either ministered to by what they're saying or saying, or I don't know.
Yeah.
Could that be, like, the pendulum swing? So, like, we had, like, conferences and all these big performance things happen, and then
we reacted by turning it all off.
We reacted by just turning off the lights. And now we lost, like, what could be beautiful out of, you know, these conferences, because we were just, like, to us, it may have felt not real or not authentic.
But in community, we didn't know the people on stage at a conference.
Right.
But if Dan Mike gets up there and plays Bohemian Rhapsody on his acoustic guitar, I mean, I'm joking, but not joking. Yeah. Not joking in the sense, I know Dan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if he plays a beautiful piece of music worshipfully, for our sake, I think I could worship through that.
Because we know Dan's heart.
I know Dan. Yeah, I know what
he's
talking about.
We know why he's here.
Yeah, exactly.
Hmm. Yeah.
I feel like even in sports, not to make a sports analogy in this context, but, like, when you have a person that's, like, really well-practiced and, like, is just on, they often make the whole game easier for their entire team. Hmm. And they make their whole – they draw people up as opposed to somebody who comes out, you know, and is just, like, tired and just not really – you know, then you got to compensate. And so –
I like feel Tom like, Brady.
No, I just
like no, like, no. Let's celebrate.
I don't know.
The
what
Bucks
saying.
Were real bad last year, and Tom Brady walks in and they won a Super Bowl.
So yeah.
So
yeah.
He elevated the whole team up.
Yeah, and so in the same way, I think as
go Packers.
So what I'm trying to say is, if a hard question to ask oneself would be, am I seeking to become the best musician so that I have the title of I'm the best musician, or am I just seeking to be, am I seeking to be so fluent and, like, good at what I'm doing that I'm drawing other people into that so that it's easier for them to flow and easier for them to kind of to go there too? I mean, that's I think a huge difference in what you're saying is the fundamental why. What are some other questions that you'd ask yourself if you were a musician to help you find that place of altruism or to find a place where you can just let it go and just be a part of the band or whatever.
Hmm. What comes to mind is set your house in order before you criticize the world. I don't know. I think there's something to be said of making sure your own heart is in.
That's a great point, Ryan.
The right place. And I think it might start there.
Because you could work really hard, and then maybe your musician next to you didn't, and then you would think that reflects poorly upon you. And if you're not at a place where you've kind of set your house in order and you're able to be a team player, a band, you know, a humble person in the band, they become a threat to you in a sense. They're making you look bad.
It's like the, yeah, the child who has a tantrum in the store and the embarrassed mother. You
something
know?
To yeah. really pay attention to. Yeah. Like if you're up there and it's just grinding against you, maybe this is a place where you're trying to add to your value instead of give from your value. Yeah. That's a great point.
And I think to go off that too, it's like you can easily judge other people too. So like say like, you know, hypothetical again, I'm playing bass, Brennan's playing drums.
You're always playing bass.
I'm always playing bass. Well, every weekend I play electric. I just want to play bass, okay?
Well, I'm hypothetical myself playing something like super complicated. That's all. Like
I'm playing harpsichord. And
is that glass thing with the water on it that you put your hands on and it makes like ooh. You ever seen those?
It's no.
Like old fashioned. No one can do it.
I still would like to get a marimba for the
is that a snake?
Stage. The, it's yeah, like a long xylophone.
Maybe we have a, we'll have an orchestra snake. Sunday.
I think,
would love to hold a marimba.
Yeah.
Well, Matt's like 50. Like, he's been doing this for like 50 years, right? He knows how to handle
Irwin.
Snakes. Yeah.
Steve Irwin
yeah.
held a marimba.
Yeah. But right. to go back to get us out of that rabbit trail, I think, though, like if Brennan's not super prepared, I think I can easily judge Brennan.
Yep.
I think I could easily just like get after him, maybe personally attack him, be like, what the heck, Brennan? You know, like I practiced so hard, you didn't practice. But I think, like, to go on that, I think that servant attitude of just lifting up each other. And I think it's more of like, what can I do in that moment to really come along, Brennan, and just love him? You know, like, I think that's what we're called first. Mm-hmm. And so that would be a question for me is like, am I here to love or am I here to be excellent? And I think you can do both. I think you can do both well. I think if there's a tension that's like, you know, what's excellence? Maybe excellence is loving well.
Sometimes. I bet sometimes it also means, for me at least, it means just dropping it. Like, I don't know, often, sometimes, it's not hard sometimes to tell when someone messes up bad or slash when they weren't prepared. And I find my heart often wanting to say like, come on, man, we all practiced, we all came prepared. But I think maybe sometimes the greater calling is to let it go, to realize the context, gain a greater perspective and that like this little thing isn't worth interpersonal strife or
destroying a
the
relationship.
It's almost reflective of what's in my heart than what they did to me, you know?
Yeah. And I think too, it's like, you know, maybe that person is trying their best in that moment. Maybe it's almost like we're assuming that they're just like this arrogant jerk that doesn't want to do anything or like doesn't want to practice. Maybe they spent 10 hours this week trying to play a drum part, you know? And then it's like, maybe this is their best.
Yeah, we could argue about that. What is excellence?
Is it
playing every note correctly?
In order to get to where you guys are kind of going, I think a question that I would ask is, does God care?
Ooh. Yeah.
Or what does God care about? You know. And so, does God care if the song rivals the angels or something like that or whatever? Yeah. What would be the highest version of the song, you know, breaks the universe and like all of a sudden now we can see heaven. I don't know. Have you ever heard of somebody singing a song and like other people say they felt like angels were singing? Have you ever heard of that before? Like,
yeah, I've heard
choirs
that.
And different churches throughout time. But I don't know. I don't think God cares about, you know, all of the merit that we can add to it per se. Like if I have a daughter, and so if she is trying to do something for me, like I will never get to a point of I can only accept it if it's a certain level.
Yeah.
Unless, you know, I mean, because it only matters if you can see her heart in it and you can see where she's coming from. Mm-hmm. I mean, if she really was coming from a place of like consistent laziness and like I don't know, that we might have a conversation and just be like, hey, this is my birthday. Okay, come on. Like, you can do better than that.
This is the 10th year.
I don't know.
You forgot my birthday.
I know I'm fighting with myself already. Okay, but parentheses over. I think if God is our father and he's looking down at us as kids, in a way, he values us and our gifts and contributions and would much more rather value, you know, it's not who wins or loses, it's how you play or whatever, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So, it's not your perfection that he's after.
In order for you to let it go, like you were saying, Brandon, you had to let God let it go and have that assumption there and say, we're here to serve each other. We're here to reorient and pray. And
I think just to add a quick thing to that is just try. I think to use that analogy, you know, like when my daughter does something, like it brings me so much joy when she just tries it, you know, like, is it perfect? Sometimes yes, sometimes no. But just the fact that she put in the effort and like just wanted to do something for me, like that's what brings me joy or brings me to tears. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the same about God.
Sounds like a mustard seed equation.
Yeah. Sounds like a motto that I have on the board here, which is try hard. Just don't be a try hard.
Wow.
Dan, we need a t-shirt of that. No, I'll wear a t-shirt.
Is try hardy. Okay? No, I'm not.
Bro, just for me. Can I get a t-shirt just for me?
If not t-shirts, then tattoos. Either one.
So, okay. Thanks, guys, for this discussion. I mean, things are going to continue to develop over the years, and we can keep coming back to this, but motivation really matters. And not taking ourselves too seriously, but taking like the mission that we're on seriously is a striking orientation, especially when it comes to the realm of performing and doing this excellent stuff. You know, you're doing it excellent because you're taking seriously the fact that people are coming around and like you want to serve them well, but you're not taking yourself so seriously that if there was a mistake or something that you didn't do right, that means anything. It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
You're okay. And so hopefully we can continue to push this into musicians here and everywhere so that there's more health and creativity in our communities. Because when that happens, I think people's hearts are awakened and their souls are awakened in really cool ways. So, thanks for talking, guys.
Thanks, Dan.
Thank you,
Brennan.
It's fun to be a special guest.
Thanks, Brennan.
Very special.
Wow.